Good morning. Morning, Osage. Bless God in the sanctuary. Don't put the words up there yet. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Listen to these words. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that cost me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. I thought about this song yesterday. It's a new song for us. We'll be learning this morning. Because I was on the side of the highway underneath my car with a hammer banging on the gas tank trying to get my gas pump to work. And I was thinking, bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. I did not feel like blessing God at the time. The Hebrew word for bless is a word that means to give God a gift. And that's a strange deal. Giving God a gift when everything comes from Him in the first place should really, you know, cause you concern. How do you give God a gift? And David said he wouldn't bring an offering that cost him nothing. And so my question for you this morning is, you know, what type of gift have you brought for the Lord this morning? I'd like to read for you the first three verses of Psalm 34 that really form the basis for this song. They say this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. And then it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's stand and sing this song together. Blessed are those who run to Him, who place their hope and confidence in Jesus. He won't forsake them. And blessed are those who seek His face, who bend their knee and fix their gaze on Jesus. They won't be shaken. Come on and praise the Lord with me. See if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Blessed are those who walk with Him, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage with Jesus. They'll see His glory. And blessed are those who die to live, whose joy it is to give it all for Jesus. And for Him only, oh Jesus, all for Your glory. Come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and bring your offering. Sing if you know. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God with the praise that cost me. bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when the weapons form me. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God because He goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God for He holds the victory. Bless God for He's always with me. Bless God for He's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, come on and praise the Lord with me. Sing if you love His name. Come on and lift your voice with me. He's worthy of all our praise. Come on and praise your
here by some others. I'll go ahead and do these. First off, June 31st through May 31st through June 2nd, we are going to be doing youth camp this year. We'll be doing our own camp over at the Fry's Pavilion. Kids wanted to do that instead of going to Siloam or anything, so that's what we're doing. Also, we will be having a potluck following this morning service. And then during that potluck, we'll be having some share time with Brother Wade during that, and then during the evening service as well. April 16th, we'll be having a deacons meeting at 6 p.m. And then I'm going to wait for this stuff because I think that's theirs.
Ladies, we're going Friday to First Baptist Church in Harrison. We're going to meet here at 5:30 and take a van over. And the cost is $10. We can pay at the door. If you would, though, please let me know if you would like to go so I can give the association a heads up on how many we'll be bringing. The theme is Abraham. Andrea Lennon will be speaking. I'm sure it'll be a blessing. So let me know.
Good morning. If you haven't heard, Wade Edwards and his family's here this morning. He's coming in view of a call this morning. So we're thrilled to have the opportunity to hear him speak this morning. And like you're aware, potluck this afternoon. He's going to be available for questions tonight for the evening service. We're going to be voting next Sunday morning. So a week from today, he's going to preach again, and we're going to vote a week from today. But that was just free. That wasn't even why I come up here. We've been doing our Genesis Bible study, and we've taken a little bit of break during this time. But we're going to start back up on the 28th. So in 2 weeks, on Sunday night, we'll go back to our home Bible studies. Now, the cool thing about it is in this Genesis study, you can pick right up. The lessons stand on their own, stand alone. So if you've not been involved, don't worry about it. Jump in. There's still plenty to learn. It's still going to be a good series and a good study. So on the 28th, we'll get back to our small groups. Max is leading one here at church. Mike and Pam have one at their house. We have one at our house. Is that it? Am I forgetting one? Yes. The Balls are having one in Berryville as well. So get involved in one, and it's a good time and it's a good study. So look forward to seeing you at one of them. Thank you.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for the message Brother Wade's going to bring. God, I pray you just give us ears to hear. God, I pray thank you for everything you bless us with. God, I pray you watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord.
You can fill out to give us more information on yourself and a place to check if you want us to come visit you. We'd love to get to know you. Thank you for doing that for us.
Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the many blessings of life that you give us each day. You fill our cups.
Amen.
Lord, bless this offering now as we give back just a portion of what you provide for us. Bless it, Lord, to just help others in this community, in this world. Use it as you see fit now. And go with the speaker this morning, Brother Wade. Give us the words that we need to hear now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The children can be dismissed for children's church this time. Brother Wade, come on.
Thank you and good morning. Hope everybody is enjoying this beautiful day and glad to be here this morning. I was going to tell you that we were so glad to be here last week that we had a 25% increase this week and challenge everybody else, but then I realized that we may not be able to maintain that type of growth with our bunch. So we did bring the granddaughter this morning, so we have five instead of four this morning. But we may not be able to maintain that each week. So anyway, I do appreciate the worship team, and I'm glad we're going to have this question time, because I've been wondering, and maybe somebody can answer, is he the most cherished group, so you put him behind the glass so everybody can see him, or did he make somebody mad and you're protecting him? I didn't know. No tomatoes? Yeah, so... Now, I have thought that if every kid that got a drum set had one of those sound booths, that maybe there'd be more drummers in the world, you know. So,
Brother Wade, would you unmute your lapel, please?
Oh.
You know, you told me it needed to be green, and I saw that light. Y'all missed some really funny stuff. I knew there was something wrong when nobody was laughing back there. So I thought maybe just the people with a sense of humor was up front, but all right. Well, we'll just move on. How's that? So all right. I do think we need to be in prayer for Israel and the things going on in that part of the world today, and we need to remember that, and we'll have a time of prayer here in a moment. But we definitely need to remember that, At this point of it, I look at it and I say, well, the Lord has taken care of him many times, and he'll continue to take care of him many times. We know that they're in his hands, and his will be done in that area. So, but on another subject, I did notice, did y'all see in the news this week about all the grapes that are just drying up on the vine? They're trying to let everybody know. Yeah, they're trying to get the word out. It's all about raising awareness. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew. So, all right. Yeah. They were more delayed this week. Yeah. So, all right. All right. Well, we're gonna be in the book of Judges this morning in chapter 6, and I have this title that I guess I'll give you my title. I don't always give titles because sometimes they're just for me, you know, but. I think this title is important, and I think that it's one that provokes thought, hopefully. It's serving God with doubt. You know, I think a lot of times we have doubt in the things that we do. We have doubt in, Lord, is this your will? And we see, and as we go through here, we're going to see where people can serve God and have doubt. A lot of times we have this voice telling us when we have doubt, hey, you're not a very strong Christian. Hey, you're not doing the right thing, because if you was doing the right thing, you'd have no doubt. The Bible doesn't teach us that, I don't think. I don't think we see the examples of that. I mean, I think it'd be great if everyone had perfect faith and there was no doubts. And I think that people can have no doubts in service, but I think that sometimes people do have doubt. And without telling you the whole points I want to make, I think that it's important to see that just because we have doubts doesn't mean that we can't be of service and can't continue in service and know God's will even through our doubts. So we're gonna get there, and I know I have a lot of scripture I'm gonna read this morning, but in the book of Judges, you see often that Israel would fall away from God, and then they'd get oppressed by somebody, someone attack them, and then they'd have a revival, and they'd come back to God, and then they would fall away, and then someone would attack them, and then they'd come back to God. And it was just this cycle through the book of Judges. And at this time, we see the same thing, and they had been attacked, and they had taken to the caves, and all the crops basically was destroyed, and they were living in caves, and they're just... they were just kind of desolate at the moment. So that setting the scene, you know, we see that God had given them over to the Midianites because they had started following other gods. They had stopped focusing on him primarily. They'd fallen away to other gods like happens so often. And the Midianites and all their allies, if you will, they'd come, they'd taken everything. Like I said, they left them desolate. There wasn't much of anything. And it was so bad, it was bad. But so God sends them this prophet, an unnamed prophet, if you will, which I find interesting too, because, you know, a lot of the people that do things, we know who they are in the Bible. We know a lot of the people that do not good things in the Bible, and they're named. And this prophet came, and we don't know who the prophet was, but this unnamed prophet comes in the book in 6:11. So if you would give him a scripture on 6:11 there, and we're going to go through 11 through 24. If everybody'd stand as we read this scripture. He sent them a prophet who said, "That is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where the son of Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. And please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." And Gideon went inside, preparing a young goat. And from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. And he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. And when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." And so Gideon built an altar to the Lord and therein called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. If you join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do. Again, thank you for this beautiful weather you've given us today and blessed us with. We thank you for that. We thank you for just the prayers that you've answered this week in our lives and
and pray that you continue to be with those that are on the prayer list. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with the leaders of the countries as they look toward Israel and the protection of Israel and what's going to take place there, Lord. Lord, we just pray for wisdom for everyone in the decision-making process. Lord, I ask that you open our hearts and minds to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you all be seated. I knew that was long. I just didn't know it was going to be that long with y'all standing. I do find that it was important to read all that. I think there's a lot of important stuff there as we see the context of where he's at. But and I'm going to skip a lot of important stuff there and just get to the points I want to make this morning. You know, Gideon said there, what he said, I don't think was because he was modest. He said, oh, but me, Lord, I'm the weakest of the weakest. I mean, I'm the most pathetic person of the weakest tribe, right? And that's exactly what you would say if you don't want to go do something, right? You're going to find the excuses. And I don't think he was being modest. I think he was being honest. I think he said, I'm weak, and that was his excuse. I think he said it more out of insecurity, if you will, than humility. And the Lord said to him, go in the power you have. Now, the irony here is the first thing the Lord said to him was what he said, hey, rise, mighty warrior. And I want to skip this part. You know, he said, rise, mighty warrior. Well, this is the guy that's down there at the wine press threshing the wheat that should be up on the hill because the wine press is at the bottom of the hill. So, you know, it all goes down, the heavy stuff goes downhill, and the wind blows on the hill, right? So you want to thresh the wheat and have all the chaff blow way up where the wind is, not down in the holler, right? I'm sure they had hollers over there and not valleys. But so we see that he was doing something because he was scared, not because he was brave. And the Lord comes to him and says, hey, rise, mighty warrior. Now, that could be considered ironic, but you know, or maybe even sarcastic, but I don't think so. I don't think the Lord goes to that. I think he's seeing Gideon for what he can be and what his potential is and what he has intended for him, not what he is at the moment. And when he comes to us and he calls us to do something and we know that we're incapable and we have that doubt, he's calling us not because of where we're at, but where he's going to take us. Right? So I don't want to skip that point as we look at this, but he comes to him and he says this, and he says, go in the power that you have. Well, did he have much power? Do we have much power? Well, I don't know that he had much power, but he did at that moment because he says, go in the power you have because I am sending you. And when the Lord sends us to do the will that he's called us to do, we've got enough power. You know, we may not have enough ability, but we've got enough power. And the ability will come, he'll give us that ability as we go forward. Sometimes I wonder, maybe we don't even have the abilities or the power until we take that first step, right? Until we take that moment of faith to say, okay, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. You know, and whenever the Lord sends us, like I say, he's going to give us the help that we need as we go. But we see here in this scripture, we see Gideon's faith and his lack of faith all at the same time. And I find this interesting because remember when I said they had nothing, right? They didn't have any food. They'd taken all the crops, they'd taken all the stock. And what did Gideon do? He, in his lack of faith, saying, Lord, I need a sign to make sure this is you. Lack of faith, right? Maybe. Because he said if, not because. He went and got what little he had, and he come and made an offering. So that's faith. Because he's giving of what little he had, even as he is in doubt. You know, his faith, he didn't have much, and I don't, you know, because, like I said, the Midians had taken everything, but he offered the little he had to the Lord, and that giving act is an act of faith. And it doesn't matter if we have a lot and we give, or if we have little and we give. When we give, That's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's an act of recognizing, hey, Lord, you're in control of all this. I wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for you, and I'm giving back some of what you've entrusted in me. And he's giving here at that time, you know. And as we act on our faith, you know, I found a little story, and I guess I'll share it with you about this woman who was coming to church, and she's telling the preacher, she said, "Preacher, my husband doesn't like me coming to church, and he got mad, and he threatened me when I got home. He threatened to harm on me if I keep coming to church, but I'm still coming to church." And the preacher said, "Well, you know, that's the right thing to do. You just act on your faith. You come, and the Lord will protect you, and it's all good. You just keep coming." And the next Sunday, and she come back and said, "Well, he's at it again. He's got more threats, and he keeps threatening." And the preacher said, "Well, you know, sister, you just need to keep coming and just have faith." And she said, "But, preacher, you don't understand. This time he's threatening to come down here and beat you up." And he said, "Well, have I told you about the little church across the town, right? Because we all have faith. Sometimes we just have more faith when it's somebody else being called, amen? You know, what kind of faith do we have when we're being called?" And I think we all have faith up to a point, right? We can have a lot of faith until it costs us something. And at this point, it cost Gideon something already whenever he said, "I'm going to give of the little means that I have." And he gave this offering, and he tested to see if it was God and of God. And like I said, it was an if statement there instead of an is statement, if you will. But the Lord accepted the offering, and he still used him. Even as he's doing it with some doubt, he still accepted it, and he still has his mission. It didn't disqualify him. Because you don't have to have perfect faith, but you do have to act on the faith that you have. See, and that's what we're seeing with Gideon, is he didn't have the perfect faith, but he does have action with his faith. We got a few more scriptures here. 24 through 27 says, "The same night the Lord said to him, 'Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it, and then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. And using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering.' So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime." So we see that that he did what the Lord called him to do, but he wasn't 100% brave about it, right? Because he did it at night because he feared everyone. But we're seeing a progression, I think, in Gideon's life as Gideon's growing in his faith. You see, God had called him to do this, and he did it, like I say, at night because maybe he didn't have the faith that God was going to protect him from all the people. And we know that he risked his life to do it because they come later to kill him. And we see that that he had faith as he done this, but and like I say, he's still acting on faith, even though it's not perfect faith. And I think as I read the Old Testament sometimes, and I look at folks like Gideon, it's real easy for me to be critical and say, "Well, man, if he was real faithful, he'd have went up there in the daylight and he would announce that he was doing it, and everybody would have seen him, right?" And it's really easy to say that when I'm on this side of the pages, right? It's a little bit harder to do it whenever God's calling you and saying, "Hey, here's what I need you to do." And when he does that and we don't like it, I don't know what you guys do, but I have been known to be real, you know, religious about it and say, "Well, let me pray about that." And whenever that gets real clear, and I know that's still something I don't want to do, well, I need to pray about that a little more. Amen? Anybody else? I won't ask if you're guilty. But, you know, we can dress that up and make it sound really good, but it's still just us having doubt and saying, Lord, I really don't want to do what you're telling me to do. So, like I said, we know that it took faith to do this. He risked his life to do it. Many of us haven't had the opportunity or the call to do something that risks our life because of our faith. And until we do, I don't know that we can say 100% certainty, this is what I'll do in that situation. Because I've gotten old enough now to realize that what I think I might do in a situation may change when it comes, right? Because you don't know until the Lord's prompting you in that situation how you're going to respond. I know what I think I'll do in many situations. You know, it takes me back to when I was a kid and Dad said, hey, I need you to stand here in the gate, because there was no gate. There was just a barn with a spot where a gate was supposed to be. And I was the gate at 12 years old. But it was okay because against that 2,000-pound bull, I had a stick. And I was a real good gate until that bull started pawing at the ground and started looking at me and snorted. And I looked at him and I said, whatever you want to do, buddy. And he went on and Dad said, where's the bull? And I said, well, he wanted out. And I was not going to stop him. So I was there to intimidate him, but I wasn't stopping. I didn't have that much faith in my stick, right? So I've learned that, the best of intentions don't always have the best of results. Like I say, it's easy to have that faith when it doesn't cost us anything. You know, that old bull was going to cost me something to keep him in that barn, and it wasn't worth it to me. Let's look at the next scripture here. We're going to look at 32 through 35. And I know we're going through a lot of scripture here, but I think it's important to see these pieces. So then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Bezerites to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they went up to meet them. Now we see something that's changed here. He went from being the weakest of the weakest, being the guy threshing at the winepress, to he's blown the trumpet and all these people have flocked to him. And we have a lot of, I'm assuming, some things that happen. And I've realized as I read my Bible, there's periods in between these sentences. And those periods sometimes are short periods and sometimes are long periods. Right? And each period is about a time, and sometimes there's stuff that happens in that time that we don't know about. But something happened where when he was able to blow the trumpet, everybody came to him to give him some help. I seem to think that his faithfulness to go and cut down the Asherah pole and all them saying, hey, we're going to kill him, and his dad comes out and says, hey, if he needs to be dealt with, let Baal kill him, right? Let Baal stand up for himself. And since he's still around, I think that drew the people to realize that he had power in what he was doing because he was representing what God wanted done. But we like I said, we don't have a record of what happened between 32 and 33, but Gideon had gained some fame or some respect, and all these people came. And we see that Gideon, like I say, he grew in the stature as well, but deep down, I think he's still the same as we've seen before. He's growing a little bit, but he's still a little bit the same. You see, because before he goes on, he asks for another sign. Before he goes into battle, he throws out the fleece, right? And he threw out the fleece and he said, Lord, you know, if uh, if this is really your will for me to go into this battle, then let the fleece be wet and the ground all be dry. And then he wakes up the next morning and it was so. And then he needed to pray about it some more, right? And he realized, hey, you know what? The ground does dry up before the fleece would dry up. I mean, that's just common sense. So, Lord, if it's really your will, do it the other way around, because that's a lot harder, right? So he said, let the fleece be dry and let the ground be wet. And when that was so, but we see that he's still needing that confirmation. He still has that doubt. Even though he's doing great things, he's still asking for signs because he has that doubt. And so he goes on and he asks for both these signs, and the Lord says to him, says, Gideon, you've got a lot of folks. I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit. And he said, you got too many people. We need to cut this down to the 300 people, right? So they go down, and he looks at them drinking the water, and he starts narrowing them down, and he gets it down to the 300. And the Lord says, you still got too many people, right? He still thinks it's too much. And the next thing, you know, so he's got this 300 that he's going, but he's not really going to use the 300, if you will. But at this point, I think they all have to have the faith, right? The 300 people going with Gideon, they all have to have some faith. Because we see that there was, the Midianites were a group of people that could not be numbered. There were so many of them. It said there was just lots of Midianites. And these 300 people are going against them. And I think that, you know, when the Lord calls you to go against those type of numbers, I mean, this is almost suicidal. It would be suicidal if it wasn't for it being the Lord calling him to do it. But they all had to have the faith, and we see that the Lord strikes down the army by turning the Midianites against themselves instead of actually using the 300. And, you know, I think he could have used the 300, but he goes from making it a thing of how great the Israelites are to how great he is. And he shows that he's the one that's in control of this thing. He's the one delivering them. It's not really Gideon. It's not really the 300. It's not all these people that came. It's him that's delivering them. But they're acting on their faith. Judges 8:22-23 shows the Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us from the hand of Midian. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor my son rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And I think we see the tremendous growth over Gideon's life where he's to this point. Everything that he went through tested his faith. He grew. And he gets to this point and says, hey, this has nothing to do with me. It all has to do with the Lord. I'm not going to be the king over Israel. Neither is my children going to be king. But the Lord's going to rule over you. Now, I don't think Gideon ever made it to perfect faith as we see through his life. But he had the doubts. He had fears. But he kept serving the Lord. He kept doing what the Lord called him to do. You know, he could have went back to the cave. He didn't have to do what the Lord called him to do. He could have went back. He could have said, I'm not taking 300. He could have went back and he could have continued to be enslaved to Midianites. Right? Midian could have still ruled over him and the nation. But he was faithful in those little things, even when he was doubtful. And the Lord delivered the entire nation from the oppression that they were having from the Midianites. You know, I think the important thing for us is that we act upon the faith that we have, even if it's small. We can act upon any amount of faith. You know, doubt's a natural reaction to things, especially, I think, when we're living in faith. You know, and this demonstrated through the Bible, through Abraham followed God, but he did it with some doubts, right? She's my sister. You know, that was one. You know, he had some times that he had some doubts. Moses followed God, but we see that he had doubts. Jeremiah followed God with doubts in his faith. He had faith, but he had doubts. Peter followed God with faith and doubts. You know, and I think doubts come to us for a lot of reasons. You know, the first one I've got down here is because we've never really done it that way before. You know, that's one of my favorite ones, because we've never done it that way before, right? So we have doubts because God's putting us outside of our comfort zone sometimes. You know, the question, we will want to question the things because we don't know. We just don't know how that's going to turn out, so we have doubts. Sometimes it's not about what's around the corner. God's just getting us to go down the path. He's got what's around the corner. Sometimes I don't even want to know what's around the corner, amen? You know, because he might be leading me to the taking an army of 300 against 3 million. And I may not want to know that today. I just want to know what I need to do next. You know, we question things, but then we have to trust God. And we see Gideon, he questioned, but he trusted. You know, is God calling you to do something new in your life, something different in your life, something that he hadn't called you to do before? Will you have the faith to do it? You know, that's really what it gets down to. Do you have the faith to do the different? Whatever it is. You know, I think we all act on our faith. The question, though, are there any actions? Because I think we all act on the amount of faith that we have, but are there any actions with that faith? You know, are they big actions or are they little actions? Do we have a lot of faith? Do we have a little faith? What comes from the faith that we have? You know, we doubt sometimes because of our lack of knowledge of God. Well, I skipped my second point. I apologize. The second point I had here is another reason that we doubt is because we don't understand how God works. You see, there's no doubt in my mind that if God told me to take 300 people against 3 million, that my next thought is, this is crazy. But would I do it? You see, there's a lot of times that we say, God, this doesn't make any sense. But then are you just excited to see what he's going to make happen? You know, yesterday, I'll bring this for example, they were projecting about 85% of the missiles that were being shot at Israel would be intercepted. Out of the 500 projectiles, they thought 85% would get knocked down by the Iron Dome, and 99% got knocked out. You know, sometimes the things that we expect don't happen. What we think is crazy is just God doing what God does. Because when you look at this, to have an army that Gideon had of thousands of people and narrow it down to 300 doesn't make any sense. And we look at that and we say, glory to God, right? Amen. But would we have the faith that Gideon had to do it? We doubt God because our lack of knowledge about God is another reason. You know, I think we need to study our word. We need to be in our word. We need to see what God has done in these situations to say, Lord, I trust you because I know that you are doing it. You've done it before with people that had as little of faith as I have, right? And you've done some great things, and I trust you that you're going to do great things even if I don't understand. But we don't always have that lack, or we don't always have that amount of knowledge. We have less. You know, we take those small steps in faith, and we gain knowledge about him. And sometimes he calls us to do little simple things. I think most of the time he does, before he calls us to do big things, so that we can grow and trust him, and we grow through the challenges that he gives us. You know, the most important challenge that he gives us sometimes, it seems so simple. I remember years ago, when I was at the tire shop, I had a guy that come in all the time. He was he liked to ride motorcycles and he liked to do other things, and generally about breakfast time he'd come in and he would smell of peach schnapps. You know, he lived a pretty rough life, and we talked quite a bit. And one morning I was talking to him and I said, well, I gave him the gospel. I just laid it out for him. And it was too simple for him to accept. He said, I want to believe it, but I just can't accept the fact that there was somebody that paid for all the sins that I've committed. And it's so simple that what you're telling me is all I have to do is believe in Christ and accept him and all that goes away. That can't be. It's too simple. Because he wanted something great to have to do. He wanted something to have to accomplish. Some work that he could say, I earned this. But sometimes that first act of faith is so simple to just say, Lord, I'm willing to accept the fact that I can't be saved of myself. I can't do those acts. It's about you. See, and we don't have that faith even like Gideon had if we haven't accepted the Lord as our Savior. If we haven't made that first step, we haven't made the most important step. So as the song leader comes this morning, we're going to sing a hymn invitation. If you're here this morning and you can't say, hey, I've stepped out on that faith, and I've stepped out to say, Lord, here I am. Use me for whatever or for this. I accept you first. Before he calls us to anything else, he's calling us to accept him and acknowledge that. I'm going to ask you to come up and we'll pray about that this morning. What number are we going to sing? 312. Everybody stand.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
I hand it back over to you.
Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the words that we heard. Help us to have that faith to step out when things don't seem like they'll work. But we know that when you're in it, anything is possible. Lord, thank you so much for Brother Wade and his family. And Lord, now as we go to partake the meal, Lord, bless it to nourish our bodies and our bodies for your service. Thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.